Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
This is Don Fluckinger, News Director for SearchHealthIT.
And this is Sean Suttner, News and Features Writer.
Welcome to the latest edition of our Hit Squad podcast. I'm glad you could join us. And we'll get right into the news of the week because this week's big story, well, at least for Health IT, is the elections. The Republicans have taken over the Senate and they obviously already controlled the House. How do you think this is going to affect Health IT policy and plans for the next 2 years, Sean?
Yesterday, the day after the election, I talked with Jeff Smith, the Director of Public Policy for CHIME, the CIO organization, and he told me that he kind of gave a B-plus to the elections for Health IT. Now, oddly enough, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, this might have a positive effect in the sense that the CIOs believe that the Republicans would be more amenable to calls to slow down meaningful use a little bit, give them some breathing room. So that's how the CIOs read this. They don't fear that the Republicans are going to go after the Affordable Care Act in its entirety, that would be way too much for them to bite off, and especially with polling showing that most Americans actually really don't mind the Affordable Care Act. Okay, so that's a lot of posturing. The people in Health IT believe, so we're not going to see the death of quote-unquote Obamacare anytime soon. One thing also to remember about these elections was that even though the Republicans have control of both houses of Congress, they do not have enough votes to override a presidential veto. They still need bipartisan action on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, and also then before this momentous election week, you had gone to the Connected Health Summit, which is sponsored by Partners Healthcare here in Boston. And it's always a favorite of all the mHealth followers and the gadget watchers. This was your first Connected Health Summit. What were your perceptions of what went on there and what was interesting to you this year?
Well, to me, you know, I was captivated by the latest gadgets, but the gadgets showcased at Connected Health are ones that have broader medical, generally speaking, broader medical implications and implications for health IT, not just consumer wearables, although they had a few of those too. They had, they showcased 11 leading edge innovative mHealth programs and devices, which I wrote about, everything from remote thermometers to watch over young babies, to also gauging fertility cycles in women, remote diagnosis programs, a little device I wrote about called the Sun Sprite that measures intake of light. It's a wearable for people with seasonal affective disorder. So there are a lot of these kind of, esoteric programs, but ones that have, there was one program that was had to do with gamification of therapeutic programs for kids with cerebral palsy, for example, I thought was really cool. So those were just some of the things I saw.
So it sounds like they were definitely driving clinical care, not necessarily tracking your steps, heart rate, or that thing for personal edification.
Generally speaking, of the 11 star products and programs that were showcased, it was, I'd say 9 were around clinical care, and a couple were just very advanced consumer wearables that, you know, we have to say, though, that there's probably going to be medical uses for all this personal wearable stuff. We just don't know exactly what they are yet.
Well, briefly describe your experience at Health Camp, which is a very one-of-a-kind unconference.
Right. Health Camp is the only conference that even its own organizers aren't always sure what form it will take. It's a conference that kind of invents itself as it goes on through the day, where the participants put all their votes for what they want to talk about, what's moving them that day, up on a board. upon a glass wall, and then the organizers kind of take, by consensus, everybody decides what the agenda will be, and then the agenda evolves through the day. One thing, care coordination turned out to be a big, one of the most popular issues that was talked about. Another one was privacy, healthcare privacy, not only protecting personal health information, but getting access to your own personal health information. And these were just free-willing discussions among social media health IT thought leaders. So it was a great conference in unusual format in an appropriate setting, the Microsoft NERD Center, New England Research and Development Center at MIT. So Don, you were recently in San Antonio at Chime's annual CIO Fall Forum.
Yeah, it was very interesting. The mood there was one of uncertainty. I don't know if it's necessarily foreboding, but the CIOs in attendance really didn't know what to make of, you know, health IT policy and budget plans moving forward, because even the National Health IT Coordinator was in flux at the time. She had resigned the Thursday before to go help with the Ebola effort, and then she was supposed to do a keynote there, and then by the time we all land in San Antonio, ONC is saying, oh no, she's going to be serving a dual role. Of course, we're talking about Karen DeSalvo, MD, who I guess is now still running the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT, but not running the day-to-day activities, but she's still representing ONC as its leader in certain places, like the HIP Policy Committee meetings, but she's also helping out with the Ebola efforts as well. But between that and the elections and, you know, will this be defunded? Will that be defunded? It's sort of like for the CIOs there and talking with them, and made budgeting for 2015 and 2016 like a roulette wheel. What number, what color are we going to put our marbles on? And I guess they just want some stability now.
Okay, Chime has a few offshoots. Could you talk? I think you met with one of them and talked about it on TV this week. Can you talk about this new group? I think it's called AHIS.
Yes, that's the one most fully formed. They launched this summer and they have 200 members. The Association for Executives in Healthcare Information Security. And as well, they should launch that. If there's any group of people that needs a professional association to help them out, it's these folks who are protecting the patient data. And it looks like they got their act together. They're going to get some courses, maybe some boot camps and some activities where chief information security officers for healthcare providers and, you know, folks with similar titles, you know, share the tricks that work and help them with their HIPAA compliance.
Right, because we have privacy officers by law at every big healthcare system, and now we see evolving this new healthcare data security officer.
Yeah, the privacy officer just needs to make sure all the policies are enforced, whether it's paper or electronic, and the information security officers are definitely keeping the hackers out, they're keeping the data from leaking, and they're making sure that all the business associates are doing what they need to do to protect patient data.
It sounds good to me.
Yeah. Well, this has been another fun and interesting edition of the Hit Squad. Thanks a lot for your time, Sean.
Thank you, everybody. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit searchhealthit.com. Thank you.